The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and today we are recapping episode number 9 of Survivor Season 50. We got another twist to get into. We have lost Christian Hubicki from the season, but Will, more importantly, I just got to talk about how badly you messed up last week. This is the big mess up from Will, and I got to start with this. Last week is the week you can't make it. This is the week. We could have opened with Will had to vote himself out of the podcast. We could have had like a 40 minutes of bits, me and Tegwith, over that. And instead, you did it last week, the week before Jimmy Fallon does this.
Don't give me that, because last week worked out perfectly with the pairs, and it was the double duo, and then I was able to hop on a West Coast recap with John. Look, there's ways you can watch the Survivor episodes live on the West Coast where you're watching the East Coast feed. One of those has been patched. You can change your location on Paramount Plus or CBS.com. They're patching things up. So I missed the episode. I'm sorry, but I got it tonight, and I'm glad we split up for that one. And you liked it, right? You liked the pairs, because I thought the pairs was fun. I was into it.
Oh yeah, the pairs was great.
I think the pairs is kind of like universally loved after the Blood Moon was universally hated by everyone.
And I think that for the first time on season 50, we're getting a twist that is going to be polarizing. I think we're going to have some people who are going to love this, and I think we are going to have some people who are going to hate this. I don't feel like this falls into the Blood Moon or the pairs at all. I feel like this one, I understand why people would hate it. I understand why people would like it. I think that if you're results-based, most people are pissed right now because Christian just went home and had to vote for himself.
We're not a results-based podcast. We look at things through, will this work on a repeat try? Can this work on any given season? Will this be fair? Or are we just basing it on what do we get out of the episode? I actually kind of dug this. I'm a fan of the twist. I have one issue with it. I have one, and it's not that big of an issue, but I'm fine with this. I thought it was fun. I think voting out yourself is kind of funny. I do kind of hate when they say for the first time in Survivor history, someone's voting out themselves. It's like, well, yeah, it's against the rules of Survivor. It's never been possible before. So that kind of talk when Jeff gets going that way is a little annoying. First time in Survivor history when, like, you just introduced this. Of course it's never happened before. And the upside on the journey is maybe my only gripe, that like, okay, Christian gets to cast one vote, one in the urn. Cool. I think it's like conceptually interesting, but it's a worse version of an extra vote. And an extra vote is already like one of the weakest advantages in Survivor. Like, it's so weak that they had to create a version of it where you get to steal a vote. And so this is a worse version of already the weakest, like, maybe steal a reward, you could argue, is the weakest advantage.
That doesn't do anything. Yeah.
That's not even a gameplay advantage. It's more of a social advantage. So maybe this could have been like, I don't know, give Christian something. But I don't – and look, people hated on like Mr. Beast, Jimmy Fallon, Zach Brown having influence on this season, Billie Eilish, Boomerang. Jimmy Fallon just coming in and naming an advantage and writing a letter and doing that thing, I think that's totally fine. I thought this was a really fun episode.
But we were lied to tonight, Will, because there's no way they actually updated Jimmy Fallon on what happened at that challenge. There's no way. That didn't happen. I have to call that out. That made me laugh.
Right, so obviously, but it's cute. I think it's fun. I'm here for the cheese on that one.
That was funny. Here's what I wanted to bring up with this, because I agree with you. I feel like the reward wasn't enough, because at the end of the day, not now it's like a weaker version of the extra vote, because not only do you have to cast that vote, you have to know who everybody's voting for well in advance. Now, you know who won immunity, but you don't know anything else. You don't know what the tribe dynamics are like. Now everybody's rice in their bodies. You don't know if somebody went back to camp and was screaming at everybody. You have no idea what happened in between. There was an interesting twist that Australian Survivor did a couple seasons ago. I think it was 3 seasons ago. And I'm going to bring this up here because I think this is how this type of twist could be better in the future. And what Australian Survivor did was they essentially had like a suicide idol where you had an idol, but you could only save yourself if every single person voted for you. And then your vote got the person out of the game. And it actually worked, which is like the most
insane. That's insane.
It was like people, an 8-1 vote.
Okay. I was going to say, it's got to be pretty late in the season where like splitting isn't happening. Mm-hmm. It's like a shoot the moon idol is what they should call it.
It is. It's essentially a shoot the moon idol. Exactly. It's a great example. But what I was thinking with this is it would almost have been better if with this Jimmy Fallon vote, rather than it just be extra vote, if it was something where it was like, if you can conjure four votes other than your own or three votes other than your own on that person goes home no matter what. And I'm just saying this more as like, can you figure out a way to make it where there's like more convincing that can be done? Maybe that's not the right amount of votes. There's 11 people left in the game. Maybe it should be six or five or whatever. But like, is there a way to actually make this more useful for Christian? Because this wasn't that useful for him. I don't think it ever could have been useful for him. And then when you turn around and look what he had to do, the thing with voting for yourself, I'm okay with the whole one in the urn thing of like, Christian, you failed at this, so there's going to be a vote in there for you. The part that sucked about this and made it way more powerful against him than it ever would have been for him is the fact that he had to cast his vote for himself, because then he can't play the shot in the dark. If he just had a vote in there for himself, that's fine. And it's just kind of like this extra floating vote. Even if they said that vote's going to be in there, Christian, you can't make a vote, but you can still play your shot in the dark. That's different. So I'm just thinking, like, what would have made it the equivalent level of worth it to lose, not just lose your vote, but now also vote for yourself and have to put one in there?
Yeah, and I don't know if there is one that has this like name, one in the urn. I think it was a clever name that was probably workshopped, that it did work in both scenarios. Whether Christian wins or loses, there is one vote essentially in the urn. And obviously Christian has to go up and write his name down, but Jeff instantly refers to it when he gets to tribal council. So Christian will be one in the urn from you. But we're now assuming, we're like living in this world where both sides need to be equal. Like if you win, you get this. It needs to be somewhat equal to the punishment if you lose. There's nothing in Survivor that says that needs to be true. You know, our first iterations of Journey were all upside. Then it's become, you know, later in the new era, it's Beware Advantages. It's like these anything can happen. And I'm okay if it's a one-off thing and it's from Jimmy Fallon, we're naming it. Like, sure, this wasn't that ever going to be that beneficial to Christian, but didn't we see a potential, was it this season or last season, a Journey where like you go and you already lost a vote and you're only going to get your vote back, nothing more? Like, yeah, we've seen iterations of that. We've also seen you go and you're like head to head with somebody and like whoever wins doesn't lose their vote. And like, yeah, or at least that's what they
was tried to do. Savannah.
Yeah. And Savannah got something. I think she got after the fact after they sent Colby on his way. But at least like Colby went into the game being like, there was nothing even to gain here. This was all punishment. So I'm okay with that. And I think why I'm more okay with this twist is because we're doing it at final 11. One vote cast against you is not the death of you. Christian was already going to get votes at tribal council. He was already in the hot seat. I think he'd already made some misplays earlier in the episodes. Him and Devins were kind of on the bottom to start this episode due to Devins' idol shenanigans. So it's hard for me to sit here and be like, oh, Christian got screwed by
for everybody.
Oh, am I going in and out? I got the hotel.
Go on, keep going.
It's hard for me to sit here and say Christian got screwed by this when you're still at final 11. And yes, I know you can't cast a vote, but there's still now 10 other people voting. And I don't know, like if Ceree goes on this journey and she doesn't get the puzzle done in time and there's one vote against Ceree, is Ceree going home tonight? No, because her name was not one of the names being discussed as a possible target. So like, that's why I do this early in the merge. I think it's kind of funny. And maybe you don't need to do this again. Like, I'm also okay with season 50 having these like one-off kooky things. Like, look, hated Blood Moon, ranted about it nonstop. The pair thing was kooky. I thought it brought a new dynamic. This was fine. This was not as big of, I feel like this is going to be a big deal for a lot of people, when in reality, Christian had a very high likelihood of going home anyway.
And this is where, you know, we come in as the specialists and we say, hey, let's break down what the alternatives would have been here. Let's say Christian doesn't have to cast a vote for himself. Well, he's giving his shot in the dark to Jonathan, and Christian's going home anyway because people wanted Christian out more than they wanted Devins out. Well, let's say he doesn't give his shot in the dark to Jonathan. Well, now Christian's going home anyway because he lied to Jonathan. He doesn't have Jonathan's trust. And Ceree and Ozzy are going to want to still vote out Christian just like they did tonight anyway. Christian's going home unless his shot in the dark hits tonight.
Yeah, he's got to play his shot in the dark, yes.
And he's got to play his shot in the dark. But in all of these scenarios, he's either not having his shot in the dark or he keeps it and it's a pile-on vote just like it was tonight. I don't think this changed the vote at all. Now, some people argue, yeah, but it didn't allow Christian, Devins, Emily to try to really make something happen, to rally the troops because they couldn't get the majority because Christian couldn't vote that way. And I get that. But to the people who are complaining about that, are you as angry that Colby couldn't vote? Because I know that's different fan bases. So are you as angry that he can't rally troops or, you know, Genevieve, everybody was mad.
Well, again, and Colby's vote was one out of five people. Exactly. So, like, the vote has more weight. Your vote is 1/11th of the voting population here. So it's not as important.
And Courtney here says, not hating the twist because Christian would go home anyway is just a different way of being results oriented. I think what I'm saying is, though, the twist to me was fine, but I think people are going to over hate this big time because they're not going to look into, they're going to be like, well, that's why Christian went home. And it's really not why Christian went home. But I know Christian is so popular, one of the stars of the season, amazing in real life. Everybody wants to meet Christian. Everybody enjoys watching Christian on TV. Everybody's been clamoring for Christian to come back since David versus Goliath. Nobody wants him to go out like this. And so my argument isn't that the twist is fine because Christian was going to go home anyway. My argument is more that people are going to be saying that this is why Christian went home and that's why they hate the twist, when in reality, I don't think this is why Christian went home.
Yeah, I'm curious with that comment because it's like, are we being results or just because we're saying, I guess that would be saying, look, the twist didn't matter, so it's not a good twist because it didn't influence. But I think any twist in Survivor that's good is going to, it needs to kind of find a Goldilocks zone or a sweet spot of like, it's not going to 100% dictate a vote, but it can't have 100% like no impact either. Else, what's the point? We've seen extra votes be misplayed a lot. Again, they had to increase the power to a steal a vote, and maybe that was more effective. Maybe one could argue that's too effective. Idols, they can be played correctly. They can be played incorrectly. I think this is an advantage, again, at Final 11, where if you have someone who already has a vote against them and they are not casting an additional vote, that it might make it easier for that person to get voted out. But I don't think it's like this immediate death sentence. I don't think it's like, okay, no matter who goes on that journey is now screwed forever. Like I just gave the Suri example. I think there's some people that they're screwed anyway. Like Christian, I think, was already, you know, one of two people going home tonight. I think it was between him and Devins, and they decided to go, you know, throw more votes at Christian. But there might be someone, you know, if Emily goes on that journey tonight and she has to announce that she has a vote against her and can't vote, do we see the votes rally against Emily? Is Emily able to deflect it onto somebody else? I know she's going for Osmond. Maybe she throws Christian under the bus. Like, I think there are worlds where this twist can work, and it's not too heavy-handed one way or another, and that's what a good twist needs to be. It can't do all the work. In this instance, I don't think it had much influence like we've talked about, but that doesn't make it a bad twist either.
Yeah, and I'm gonna throw up this this comment here from Cass Burchard, because I think this is also why I'm okay with it. I think Christian saw the writing on the wall. He knew where he stood in this tribe. He knew where him and Devins were at. And Cass Burchard said he nominated himself to go. He should have stayed quiet. And that's one of the other things here. Like, they said, who wants to go? And at the time, I'm like, Joe, you're such an idiot. Come on, Joe. Like, make a decision.
Joe, like, Christian, pick someone in your life. Come on. Yeah,
Christian is the one guy who can't go. And what's funny is, Joe actually inadvertently made this so easy for his alliance because Christian had to come back and read it out. So there was no, oh, Christian's fooling us. It's no, I'm literally reading off the paper right now telling you that I lost. And so Joe accidentally helps his alliance by sending Christian on this journey, but Christian wanted to go. And so we talk about like when Justin Piopi went, I forget exactly how it went, but Part of me feels like he pulled a rock to go.
No, it was this, I can tell you. Or maybe it was after the immunity challenge, it was the winning team got to choose someone from the other two tribes to go. So he was, someone just called out, Justin, you're going. No fault of his own. Then the whole game was rolling dice. He lost a vote, and then he went home because he couldn't vote and literally had no choice. Again, that is a good point. Like, it was at least, you know, it didn't have to be a volunteer nomination. Joe could have picked anybody he wanted to. Again, probably not a good move to send like someone on the bottom, and there's two people on the bottom, and one of them is suspected of having an idol, and now you're potentially arming the other person with an advantage that you likely won't know about or that Christian can lie about. Definitely not good gameplay from Joe, but you know, this is also maybe why I'm more okay with it too. And I said this last week, maybe I was incorrect, but there is often, with a new advantage in Survivor, and you go off on these either exiles or these journeys, there is this really, like, you can feel the desire from production and the show that we want to get this new toy, this new advantage, this new item into the game and see what people do. I always point to the idol nullifier in David versus Goliath as, like, there's no way Carl is going in not getting the idol nullifier. This is before we are in the lost votes in the new era, so there's not really a punishment for not finding it. Part of me here, because we have seen this with Rachel, like, Jimmy Fallon comes up with an advantage. It's like, okay, they're gonna make that timer infinitely long. Anyone can solve this puzzle in the timer. We never know how long these timers are. I like that you could actually win this and you get the new twist, or you fail and we get something new. I think that's also why I appreciate it. I know a lot of people were rolling their eyes at Cerise last week. I don't know. 2,000 coconuts is a lot, especially if you don't know, is it already facing up? You have to turn over each and every coconut. Again, we don't get the timing on that hourglass. Is it an hourglass? Is it a 4-hour glass? Is it an 8-hour glass? Like, that has a lot of influence. But I appreciate when the show is not predetermining the outcome of these journeys. And clearly that we saw Christian fail. That hey, look, maybe they predetermined it the other way where Christian has to vote for himself and they made this near impossible. I doubt they do that. I time this out. They find that sweet spot of about 50-50. Half people are going to fail. Half the people will succeed and we will live with the result. So that's why I'm okay. Christian could have solved the damn puzzle, right? Like that's an outcome here.
Yeah. Absolutely. And for the people, I know Courtney B had responded and said she just doesn't think that people should have to vote for themselves. Like, I get that. I mean, I'm old school Survivor fan through and through.
Okay, sure.
So I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue with that.
I'm there for the cheese on it. I'm there for the, like, oh my gosh, voting for yourself. But we could also say Christian lost his vote and now has a vote cast against him. You could literally say that phrase and it is the same thing. But now we get the TV moment of writing your name down. I get the purists will say that's not within the rules. It's semantics at this point. You would just reword the advantage to not break that rule. I'm fine with hamming it up for TV.
So what are we doing next season, Will? Did you hear what 51 is? It's Christian. Well,
maybe
Sierra.
It's in the hands. Maybe it's in the hands of Jeff, because now I'm so lost on whose hands this season is in, because we get Jeff going, well, I'm a fan also, so I'm going to come up with this twist. And I'm like, wait a second. So, Jeff, who came up with the blood moon then? Like, what have you? Because it wasn't the fans. The fans didn't vote for the blood moon. The fans didn't come up with any of this other kooky shit. So he's now saying, well, I'm also a fan, so here's my twist this season. It's like, Jeff, all of this is you. You're doing everything. He's really going out of his way to confuse the message on where these hands are coming from. Who's dictating this season?
You overshadowed my Christian versus Sierra joke, but that's okay because you're right. He has totally gone crazy here with him saying this. Now, look, Jeff competing in the challenge, I was actually fine with. I thought it was awesome. Silly, goofy. So, I'll take that 1,000,000 times over these fake bullshit rights negotiations. I don't care. I forgot that they hadn't had rice yet. I thought that they had all had rice at some point. Like, I don't care anymore. You know, to be honest with you, like, they don't look like I keep talking about second chance on recent podcasts because that's what we're doing for the Patreon now. But, like, when you look at Kelly Wentworth and Spencer on that season, Kelly Wentworth lost 31 pounds on that season. Like, you noticed when people were losing the weight. I don't notice what they're losing right now. So I thought that they had rice. I didn't even remember that they didn't have it. So, like, whatever. I'd rather Jeff compete in the challenge. I thought that this was fun. I thought it was fun that they were all giving him a hard time. And I like that 7 people beat him. I like that it wasn't just who you thought, which was Jonathan and Joe and Tiffany and Ozzy. It was also Steph, who would have been the 5th person, they all said. It was also Aubrey. And then it was also, there was one other person who did it. Christian also beat him. I love that. And Turgenstein says, Phil, the fans voted no rice. No, I know that. I just thought that they got it eventually. I knew they had to work for the rice, so I thought they just got the rice. But anyway, I was fine with Jeff doing this, but I agree with you.
I was more than the plot
within the hands of the fans. That's for sure.
But we lost that the second this was announced, when he says, this season we're leaving it completely up to the fans. We're going to pick the cast, even though we've done a fan vote before. we're not doing that this time, but this is like, I keep saying we're watching Second Chance. Like, we had more influence on Second Chance than we did on this season, literally named in the hands of the fans.
Yeah.
But I was more than like fine with this. I thought this was great. Like, to me, again, I've always said, and this is what Jeff has said leading up to 50, part of this season should be a celebration of the show. And so the lightheartedness and maybe the little goofiness, and again, the cheese here with Jeff hopping in a challenge, like, I'm okay. And we get the montage of Jeff just ripping into people. To me, that's a celebration. To me, this is them having fun. Especially this episode started on kind of a, I don't want to say dark, but it felt so serious. The camp life and strategy scenes coming out of Devin's idol play, and then that morning before the challenge, it was just pure strategy, strategy, strategy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, without Coach, do we not have like fun camp life scenes? Did we need the haikus? Did we need his shenanigans? And then we get to the challenge and it was nothing but jokes and just being lighthearted. So I actually kind of like that contrast, and it fit really well this episode. And maybe the producers of this episode said, okay, we can go a little strategy heavy, get a little more gamey and serious early, knowing that we're going to have a lot of fun with Jeff during the challenge.
Yeah, I thought the opening of this episode was great. And we got a lot of super chats that I want to get to here in a second, but I thought the opening of this was awesome. To just see them come back and have to regain composure. What are Jonathan, Joe, and Stephanie going to do? Where do Sari, Ozzy, and Rizzo stand? What's going to happen with Tiffany? It looks like Tiffany has worked her way in really well with all the people who I just named. And then Jonathan talking about, you know, Christian and I were working together, but now I don't think I trust Christian. And then you have Devin's and all the fallout from that. And a lot of people saying they don't buy it. Some people saying they do. Now, granted, Devin's only told Emily it was fake, so I'm sure nobody will ever find out that it was fake, because she's the
big mistake.
Yeah. But I do feel like that was really interesting to see all of the dynamics and to see the struggles of where are the alliances going to go after this big Devin's moment, and how some of his allies were really annoyed by it. I mean, tonight, we probably got, and we barely got any Aubrey again, but what we did get from Aubrey was probably the most interesting thing she said all season, which was like, I need to stop being associated with the people that everybody wants to vote out of the game. And I need to prove that I'm serious when I'm here, because for so much of the game so far, she's being associated with like Devin's Christian. That's not good for her. So she's even saying, I need to figure something out. I think that's all we heard from her tonight, but still we're seeing a lot of different dynamics, and it's authentic dynamics. And we did see that in the vote tonight where, you know, when Emily comes over and says, why don't we vote out Ozzy? And honestly, her pitch makes sense. She's making it to the wrong people, but we have a clean shot at him. He has an idol. Let's get rid of a challenge threat who has an idol. She just doesn't realize how connected Ozzy is with everybody, which is ultimately why Ozzy's fine. But I love I really enjoyed this whole episode.
I really enjoyed it too. I love the Sari. Why does everyone keep going after all my allies? And it's like, Sari, your confessional earlier this episode was that you are allies with everyone. So like, Obviously when people come up to target somebody, it's going to be somebody you're connected with, because Sari is so well connected. Going back to the reaction to Rick, I thought, and we've been getting this sentiment from players, if you do something flashy at Tribal Council, it's now all of a sudden called sloppy or annoying or extra or too much. I think Rizzo doing some getting up to almost play his idol and then keeping it. Oh, this is good till final five. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Like, I think people, we heard from that jury after the season that people were kind of annoyed with Rizzo. It used to be kind of like, do flashy things in front of the jury, show that you're playing hard, make a big move. Are people just mad that Devin's got a big moment and they didn't? Is that what it is? Because I didn't like fully understand how the word sloppy got for it. Eight or nine people, it felt like, said sloppy about Devin's at Tribal. It was how quickly he went to go get it. And I know, Phil, that we obviously are in on the heist with him, that this was a way more clever move than any of them know about, that he had to go plant this, whatever, 10, 11, 12 days before, and this was pre-planned. I just don't, even if it's not pre-planned, if you go up and get an idol and use it to save yourself, are people just annoyed that they're not getting a big moment and that Devin's is? Why was this sloppy?
Because he was never getting the votes to go home. And the people who wanted to work with him were aggravated that he put such a target on his back here, because he didn't need to. And I think that's why everybody's calling it sloppy. I think they're calling it sloppy because he didn't need to do it. And then he's coming back saying, oh, look, you all went and had a live tribal and this is what was going to happen. In reality, he's getting 3 or 4 votes at most. Like, it's not happening last week. And I think that's why so many people were calling him sloppy, because he went out, he made this big show of everything. It was in everybody's face. At the end of the day, it was always going to be Coach and Chrissy. And I think that people he had built trust with over the game were annoyed that he made such a show of everything and did put such a target on his back. Now, how do you get that bullseye off? I mean, that's what everybody was saying. That was a big conversation tonight. It's good and it's bad, because now we all can just pile votes on Devins and he has to play the idol. And if it's not real, goodbye, Devins. If it is real, goodbye, Devins' closest ally. And I don't see how he gets out of this now without Christian, because he can't spin numbers.
Yeah, and we can get into that, but I want to stick with this Devins thing. When Devins brought out the idol, everyone was shocked, and then they got up and started whispering and changing votes. I'm not going to sit here and say I think he was going to get enough votes to go home, but this is Survivor. Devins just doesn't have to take everyone's word. If there's a chance that he's going home and he does a move at Tribal to save himself, I don't know if that's like how many votes do you I think you that pair was getting what, at least 2 votes, maybe 3?
I think they were probably going to get 3. I mean, do you
was Joe be, was never be a 3-3 vote of the pairs, and then Sari with the final to break the tie and send Coach and Chrissy home?
Because remember, they all voted individually.
So I know they all did. I'm just getting to the point quicker, but like,
yeah, I think that Joe is telling us tonight that he wasn't going to vote for Devins. Joe's not going to lie to us in confessional. He's not
right. But we knew that was that because Joe didn't want to write Coach's name down. But just because you tell someone that and you're being truthful again, Rick does, like, if Rick is wrong, he goes home and he loses a chance at $1 million potentially. So like, I don't know why it's like, oh, this is sloppy because he saved himself. And I don't know how many people, I don't know how closely Rick was actually working with some of those other people. Like, I don't know if he was in so good.
Yeah.
Like, do you really think this blew up his entire game? Like,
I think it's similar to the Christian situation where I think his days were somewhat numbered anyway. I mean, I said, once the final 11 was shown, I was like, oh, like right now, Sari, Ozzy, and Rizzo are making the decisions. Would you rather play with Aubrey, Devins, Christian, and Emily, or Jonathan, Stephanie, Joe, and Tiffany? Your decision's made for you. I mean, you're going with the strong honor and integrity alliance. So I think Devin's days were numbered. I think this is just the excuse the edit is giving us. Because honestly, up until this point, there really hasn't been anything that says, hey, Devin should go home.
Right. And I'm not saying, I understand why if you make a move like this, there should be a target on your back, but not the target in the way that they're saying that this was a bad, sloppy move. Now we need to vote you out because I can't play with you. It's almost like, you just did something big in front of the jury and now you're threatening to me. Now you can beat me at tribal council and I don't have anything. I haven't done anything like that. And like, again, like if you watch the scene, and Rick told us this tonight, once he brought it out and said, I have an idol, they got up to change their votes and talk about it. Like, there were definitely people writing Rick and Aubrey down that did not write Rick and Aubrey down because he made that move. And he's being like called out for being slow. I don't know. It kind of confused me.
All right, let's go to some of these super chats here. We got Cody Brayman. Can't watch podcast tonight, but love the episode tonight. It shocked me. No Emily votes at the Bryson when present in St. Louis. My first watch party, but thank you for everything the specialists do. Like and subscribe. Yeah, like and subscribe. Thank you, Cody. Enjoy that event. I'm sure it's a party out there right now. I wish I could be at it. We also have Jayburn Aquatic. Christian's comedic rage against Jimmy Kimmel was amazing. So I love that Jeff did not know how to take Christian in this moment.
Jimmy Fallon, not Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, it wasn't Jimmy Kimmel.
But thank you, Jayburn Aquatic. Appreciate the super chat.
He could not figure out how to take Christian in this moment. And I will be interested to see Christian's exit press tomorrow. And I will normally I just read the exit press from like Bloom and Dalton when they do the written portions. For some reason, I'm old and I like to read instead of listen. But I will be listening to Christian so I can actually understand the tone of what he is saying rather than reading it, because I will be interested to see how he feels about the way the season shook out. He looked very upset when he got voted out. He actually seemed like he was upset over the Jimmy Fallon thing, but he was trying to make light of it because that's his personality. And we did have the confessional last week of him saying, well, I don't know if the fans exactly voted for that. Christian is a big voice in this community. And if Christian comes out and speaks a little negatively about some stuff, I could see that impacting Jeff's approach for future twists, seasons, whatever, because that is somebody that Jeff really does appreciate on this show. More so, no offense, than Chrissy or even Coach. Like, Jeff's not looking at Coach for wisdom about how Survivor should be made. I do think he's looking at Christian as somebody who could be giving wisdom about how the show is made, you know, not to level of Mike White, but Mike White might also be calling Jeff right now saying that's the best twist of all time. Christian sucks. Thank you so much for Jimmy Fallon doing that. And then that might be skewing Jeff's mind. But what do you think? Do you think Christian's going to be heated tomorrow? Or do you think Christian's going to play the take the high road because he's Christian? Like, what do you think?
I mean, maybe in the moment, if that's when these interviews are done, but he's had enough time to sit on this. And if you're Christian, you're pretty, it seems like you're in good with Jeff and production. You are, I know, an old school player, if we're splitting it 40 and, you know, if that's our cut line, but like a pretty recent player, somebody that could definitely return again. One of the bigger characters this season, I don't think Christian's going to say anything too negative because I think he wants to probably be asked back and potentially play again. And that's the thing Jeff and production can always hold over these players. Like, come at us. Like, fine, we have a pool of 700 people we can bring back to return. We only got 18 or 20 spots. So if you're not happy with the show, you don't need to come back and play again. I do think, like, and I do think he could be, he could critique the show in a polite way where he's not saying, Jeff, this is stupid, this sucks, I have no chance. But also looking back, like, don't you think Christian knows that he was probably screwed? And honestly, that's why he raised his hand to go participate in this journey. Christian knows the game very well. He knows that a lot of these journeys lead to lost votes or punishments, and that it's not always a chance to just get a free advantage. So he knew he was on, you know, the bottom already. And I would be surprised if, like, he comes out and says that dumb Jimmy Fallon twist is the only reason I got voted out. And honestly, it did feel like Christian was putting on a little bit. I think he got maybe a little performative at Tribal Council, because I think you get a twist from Jimmy Fallon and it screws you, and Christian being, you know, who he is and his personality, he's a smart guy. He knows what the show wants out of this. If the Jimmy Fallon twist flies back in your face, you need to get an interview of him. You need him when he goes to the confessional, voting confessional, holding his vote up, being like, screw you, Jimmy Fallon, I need to be mad. And I think what was tough for Christian is that he's like weighing this, like, okay, Jeff wants this out of this twist. I want to deliver this for the show, for Jeff, and make this fun. But at the same time, I'm a huge fan of this game. I want to win this game. I want to play this game as hard as I can. And those two kind of mindsets were conflicting. They were just at odds with each other. So when he delivers this monologue to Jeff about being angry, he's trying to do it in a kind of lighthearted, funny way. And that's how Jeff did not know how to take it. It was like, okay. The way he said okay really kind of brought me back to Worlds Apart when Max Dawson went to say, like, Jeff, I just want to say something. Like, he stopped Tribal Council and it put on this big show. And Jeff's like, okay, whatever, dude. It kind of felt like that, where it's like Christian didn't really know where to land when delivering this.
I get where you're coming from with that. I mean, whenever there's these advantages with other people involved, celebrities and stuff, and hey, maybe Christian will be on Jimmy Fallon one day. Who knows?
That's part of it, right? Like, they're going to do a phone call or a Zoom, or I don't know. They always go on the Today Show or whatever, the CB at the morning, whatever it is. Like, they do a lot of press. And I think being the one that gets ousted by the Jimmy Fallon advantage is kind of this, I don't know, there's this opportunity to maybe get some more screen time or get screen time outside of Survivor on other programs and build up your celebrity and brand and all that. Like, and I don't know if Christian's fully going that far, but you might just in that moment feel the pressure to kind of fulfill that as the recipient of this advantage.
Everyone knows that familiar feeling when you just can't answer that one simple question, what's for dinner? Well, thanks to Omaha Steaks, I find myself in that situation way less frequently. Dinner is handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant-quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And it's not just tender steaks. We're talking flavorful burgers, chicken, seafood, sides, and even desserts, all delivered directly to my door. So whether it's a rushed weeknight evening or a Saturday night cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. And let me fill you in on a little secret I've been using the past few years. Omaha Steaks proteins aren't just great to have in your own fridge. They also make fantastic gifts. When my dad's birthday comes around, I'll gift him one of the many options of steak packs, and it's an instant win-win. One year I got him the complete cookout collection, which is perfect because he enjoys grilling up everyone a great meal, and I make sure I'm there to celebrate with him, so I get a fantastic steak dinner myself. Win-win. Feel free to use that one. And I want to clarify something for any skeptics out there. Yes, frozen delivery can be this good. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Shipped nationwide and arrives frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal effort and time. No last-minute runs to the store. They can't match the quality Omaha spent generations perfecting. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of meat. We got filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, each with their own different flavor and style. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. This isn't some rinky-dinky discount. That's $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold.
Before we get into the rest of the Super Chats, I need to bring this up because this bothers me. And since Christian can't say anything bad, right? He's not allowed. Or he's going to try to play again. I know I can't play. I know they're never going to put me on.
Why can't you play?
There's no way I play. How much bad have I said about this show? There's no way. If Christian can come out and say this, so I need to say this. Look, and I don't want to be too hard. I deserve all of this. After losing two Alliance members, castaways spend the next day picking up the pieces of their broken alliance. The castaways faced off against a surprise challenger during this week's individual immunity competition. Then, upon the return to camp, the journey participant must read aloud an important announcement regarding their recent adventure. That is the press release for this episode, which, as diehard Survivor fans, we read, okay? Like, that All Winter Survivor puts out every week on Instagram. I read it every time. I try to base my questions around it, all this different stuff, right? Now, I knew Jeff was the surprise challenger. That's fine. You spoiled the moment Christian was on the pontoon because one option was put a vote in and the other was you're going to have to read this note out loud to the tribe. So as soon as that was said, I turned to my wife and I said, he's going to lose. And she was like, no way. It's a puzzle. I said, no, he's going to lose because the press release said he has to read out
loud. Why did you spoil it for Rachel? Come on.
I didn't. CBS spoiled it for everyone.
She thought that Christian was going to win. You're like, no, I already read the press release that she hadn't read probably. Hey, look, you didn't need to tell her about the press release.
I'm stating factual information that is out there. I mean, look, if they
want to spoil it. Right, but she didn't know this factual information.
Well, she should have looked it up. I mean, I'm a fan. I don't want to give her false hope.
I think we need to start treating the press releases as spoilers. And that
that's the show.
We have to. I didn't read the press release. I don't usually read the press release. So, like, I didn't know Jeff was competing until you and Steven were talking about it. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of fun. I didn't think too much about it. And then, yeah, I didn't even think about this. I didn't see that part of it. I didn't
read realize, though, that everybody who's in here, Zuma blows. Nobody looks up that garbage. They had also said earlier, what is this guy even talking about you? Seems like that's going to be a fun commenter for this podcast. But anyway.
Talking about me?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't about you, but I was just looking through it anyway. But here's my thing. I do the prop bet game every Tuesday. There's that dog, Will. Coming to LA on Friday. Get ready, buddy. But anyway, I do the prop bet game every Tuesday. And I need to come up with some questions. And I try to base it, make it a little different. A lot of the questions are repetitive. Who's going to say Jeff this week? Who's going to have the most confessionals? Blah, 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 blah. And the thing for me is sometimes I try to look at the press release to come up with something different. Okay, there's going to be a journey. Now I can do the question of who's going to go on a journey. Like, you have three sentences that you are giving us. Don't spoil your season. Like, I turn around and I watch, you watch like an episode of The White Lotus. This character has a confrontation. This character meets their match. This character eats lunch. They don't tell you what's going to happen in those three moments. They just give you the vaguest sense of it. Why are we getting overly detailed in the press release? Like, I don't know.
I understand why you read it and have to do it for all the predictions podcast stuff, and that a lot of the other podcasts have to do it. But I understand where listeners are like, well, yeah, I never read that. I don't come across that. It's not something I interact with. I get both sides of it. Yeah, they shouldn't do that. Don't spoil it. I'm with you, but I think maybe don't read them.
I don't know. And like, you can do that in a vague way where it's just like one person returns from a journey with huge news for the rest of the tribe. And like that, we don't know that that's what that means. But to say he must read aloud, it's like, no, you're telling me what he's doing. Anyway, other comments here. Ryan Chan, Abby Maria, Lydia, Laura from Karamoan. Holy shit, what a name drop. And Katie from Philippines and Palau. Want apologies, probes. I mean, you talked about this earlier with the montage of Jeff being mean to people. I miss that. I miss it so much. It's so much fun. Him telling Natalie Tenorelli that she should just sit down and stop participating is so ridiculous. And then the men proving to be completely worthless, and you just see the Monono men standing there from One World. Like, I miss that stuff. And even when
the One World man is very good.
And he was like, I won't be as mean in the future. And everybody was like, no. Like, Ozzy was like, no, you can be mean still. Like,
no. Well, then Jeff said, until next season, which I appreciate. Because when he said, I'm not going to do it, it's like, come on. That's part of your character, is to rip into people when they're sucking at challenges. It's like, some of the best parts of challenges.
Yeah. And then we have this one from Meme View. And then this covers the rest of the Super Chats. Is it just me, or is Jonathan playing one of the best games of the season? Also, why is Jeff acting like he still roasts people? He doesn't do that now, which fits with what we're talking about here. Is Jonathan playing one of the best games of the season, Will?
Yeah. I told John last week on the West Coast recap that Jonathan, it was the first episode where I was like, okay, I actually can see Jonathan as a potential winner. And after this episode, I think I have him as the front runner. Like, who's more likely to win season 50 than Jonathan? I don't have anybody.
Hang on. I got it for you, Will. You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Emily, Ozzy, Rizzo, and Aubrey are more likely to win than Jonathan.
Because they have a confessional in every episode.
But I will tell you, Will.
Does Jonathan not?
No, he doesn't. He missed the Zach Brown episode. And I will say this. If Jonathan had a confessional in every episode, he would 100% be my favorite to win right now, because I really do believe that the way that this is being shown, his growth, how he's going to navigate this game, like, he just lost two of his closest allies. What can he do to show the strategic sense to say, Christian, I want to take that? And I know people will say, well, he got the shot in the dark from Christian, and Christian couldn't use it anyway, so Christian really outsmarted him. Not really. So
did you like that flourish there? He hands it back because that's like subtle jury management right there.
Yeah, sure. That's like, here's your souvenir.
It's not as flashy as maybe that's what you have to do now. People don't like the flashy moves because it's too much, it's too over the top. But that was a nice little, I mean, can't tell me D, Chrissy, and Coach aren't looking at that like, what'd Jonathan just do?
Well, and he had, St. Cliff, I muted him. The guy's a total lowlife loser. Loser, go find something to do. Go to RHAP or somebody else. So I agree with you here because what we also got from him that was really interesting tonight in the confessional was him saying who the notches in the belt were. I got D. I got Camilla. Now I can add Christian to that. And I'm not going to sit here and say he's the reason Christian went home. The same way I'm not going to say Aubrey's the reason Genevieve went home. But the storyline is Jonathan's a big reason why Christian went home, the same as the storyline was Aubrey versus Genevieve was important. So that's how I'm viewing this. And when I see Jonathan come back and he's the one who's doing most of the talking and he's the one in his alliance trying to do the strategizing to get people back on his side. And we see him talking to Ceree and saying, Ceree, like, I really do have you. Like, this is going to be great. Like, we're going to make this happen. I love that. I love that. So I feel like Jonathan for sure would be the favorite.
Well, yeah, and I don't see a couple things. One, I don't see anyone calling him out as a threat, especially like his reputation from his first season is like not a strategic player, a purely physical and camp life player. And so I don't know if people are looking, if I sit next to Jonathan, I probably win. And I think they'd be very, very wrong because he has like these things he can point to. And then also and this is more edit than it is like current game, but like who else is standing out as like that makes sense from start to finish, what we've seen from everybody, that this is their season, that they're the winner of season 50. Who can we go over the names again of those people who have gotten a confessional in every episode?
Before we do that, I want to answer your question because I think we've been underselling her this whole season because we're taking her for granted. And that's Ceree. Like, I think Ceree has been absolutely electric from episode one. Her first episode, it was going to be her getting voted out because Jenna's pointing at her. And Ceree says, no way, we're voting out Jenna. And then for the rest of the season, like the one person said in our comments last week, it's 100% a spoiler every time Ceree says somebody's going to go home because then that person goes home. Like, Ceree is spoiling the season as she goes along. And tonight when she says, no, I want it to be Christian, you know Christian's going to go home. There's really nothing that can be done. So for me, I actually think Ceree might be the front runner, and I've been arguing Ozzy is also a front runner.
Here's my thing with Ceree, and it's more, look, the edgic part of it is half edit, half logic. The logic half of that, if they let Ceree get the final tribal council, I mean, come on, man. Like, how do they let that happen? But I mean, Tony won Winners of War. So like, we've seen this happen where it's like the obvious biggest threat who is going to win over the jury just waltzes right in there and people don't see it. I don't know how you can keep.
Let me ask you this question because somebody had asked it on one of the podcasts last week, and I know I didn't podcast with you last week, so I know it wasn't with us. If Ozzy were to win immunity at Final Four and Ceree was still in the game, would he take her to the end or no?
It depends who else is there. But if you're Ozzy, I don't think you can. If you want to
win.
That's
what I said too, but it's an interesting dilemma. Is he try to redeem himself as like this different guy? Like if it's Ozzy, Rizzo, Ceree, and I don't know who the fourth person would be. Let's say it's Jonathan. Does Ozzy take Ceree?
I think he takes Jonathan over Ceree and Jonathan beats him. That's what happens in that scenario.
But if you're asking right now, if I was looking at this and I wasn't looking at the confessional, because that's been going on since Erica. I say this all the time. Since Erica, if you have had zero confessionals in an episode, you cannot win the season. That has not happened since Erica. And so I always bring this up. If I wasn't looking at that, Jonathan and Ceree are my front runners. And I'm honestly annoyed that they both got the zero in the Zach Brown episode, because if they would have just gotten one, I'm sitting here going like there's no,
that's a special case episode though, too. Like there is kind of an asterisk by that episode. Okay. We're dedicating a lot of time to the Zach Brown bit and they weren't on that reward, right? Neither of them participated.
No, neither of them went on the reward.
So that can almost explain it away. Who are the other people that do have though? Can you please remind me?
Yeah, so Emily is the least likely out of all.
And she's not winning.
Yeah, she's not the, she's not winning. The other three are Aubrey, Rizzo, and Ozzy.
Aubrey's an interesting one because it feels like we always hear from Aubrey, even though she's just not integral to the story being told. Like, what? It's like it's like they keep reminding us of like where Aubrey's at each week, but she's not closely aligned with really anybody. I guess she's with Tiffany at this point. She seems to be brought into plans very late, but we're just kind of checking in. Aubrey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Oh, you low? Okay, but now you're doing better. Now you've survived some votes. Now you're turning it on. Now she's teaming up with Jonathan. Like, now she's kicking it into gear. Survivor Archivist says Aubrey is giving zero vote finalist vibes. That could be it. They maybe want to like give enough to all three finalists. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I could see that too. I mean, I hear you on all of this. What my thing has been with the way the alliances are shaking out, you don't want to go to the end with Sari and Ozzy, but you can go to the end with Rizzo, Jonathan, Joe, Stephanie. And I feel like those are the final, like that's a group of six now. Like Christian went home here. That kind of further proves that. Tiffany fits in there, but Tiffany's edit was atrocious early on, so there's no way she's winning this season. If you look past Tiffany, then it pretty much comes down to Devin's, Aubrey, Emily. Who's the most likely of those three to still be alive at final seven or final eight? Because you could position yourself as the wedge between alliances. We saw Chris Doherty do it. We saw Danny do it. We even saw, like, I don't know, Nick Wilson to an extent do it in 37. But like, you see these people who, if you're the last one surviving from a specific group, you can wedge between two alliances or between an alliance that now has to fracture.
That now splits.
And Aubrey is the one who seems like she's going to last the longest out of those three. But then if she gets to the end, what's her story right now? I just don't know what the argument is that Aubrey is making at Final Tribal that says, I deserve to win this. Like, we heard Jonathan's pitch tonight. That's a pretty damn good pitch considering who he sent over to the jury and considering Stephanie and Coach are both going to vote for him if they're on the jury. And they're not even part of the people he's saying are notching the belt. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Aubrey's case is. I just find it kind of odd because like they don't always dedicate a story to a Final Tribal Council loser. We've seen the zero vote finalists often get completely edited out. I mean, we had Heather in season 41.
She didn't make it to
the final. She four.
Yeah, she was the fire.
Or I'm thinking of, you know, I get Heather and Sue from 47 was like nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
And she's a finalist. We talk about Ben Katzman from 46, mm-hmm. not getting a lot post merge, even though it seemed like when we chatted with him, he was in the middle of that, but we did not hear from him. So it's not like they owe Aubrey something if she does make it there. It just seems like we're checking in with her at weird times. Rizzo, the last couple episodes, I feel like has just kind of, I don't know, is he doing it on purpose? Are we focusing on it? He's gone quiet and we were hearing so much from him earlier. What's going on with Rizzo?
I think that it's just that he's aligned with Sari and Ozzy and they're going to get more screen time because Sari and Ozzy are the biggest stars that are left in the game. And I think that they're like the fact that they also went further than Christian. It seems like they're going to go further than Devin's. They're the two biggest stars left in the game. And I do think that that's playing into this. And that's what people always talk about. You know, when you do these returning player seasons, people are thinking about screen time. Who's going to go? Who's going to get a lot of confessionals? Who's going to be a screen hog? Coach is always a screen hog. People don't like that. People want to get rid of that. And I think that on this season, what's happening to Rizzo is Rizzo's being overshadowed by those two. And I think what's also happening, if you look at last season, Rizzo was overshadowed quite a bit by Savannah in some of his episodes. Like Savannah was constantly getting these like 10, 8, 7 confessional episodes. And Rizzo was always kind of getting the one or two here and there up until the very end. So I think Rizzo kind of comes and goes and ebbs and flows. But yeah, that's what I think. Turgenstein says, yo, Phil, you guys are going to talk about the episodes. And I feel like we've talked about everything tonight.
Yeah, we've talked about the episode, and we never really format this. Like, you know, we always bounce around. I think with Rizzo too, we often hear from him when he's like upending the status quo. But tonight, he tells us, "Oh, Christian's got a vote on him. This is easy. Like, he was already on the bot. There's no reason not to vote Christian."
And it's like, we didn't really need to hear anything else from him. But once he's in with the plan and he takes a back seat, it's like, okay, that's not really Rizzo's. That's not usually the good stuff that Survivor likes to show us from Rizzo. He likes to come in and be like, I'm dictating the plan. I'm moving votes around. So if he's not doing that, maybe we just don't hear from him.
Yeah. And going to that point, Ian Leventhal, sorry, I don't know if you guys talked about it yet. But did Rizzo drive that boat? Suri obviously wanted to keep Christian. He's the one who swayed her to vote him out. Do you think that Suri and Tiffany really badly wanted Emily over Christian? Or do you think it was just kind of the in the moment reaction to Emily saying what she did and them kind of having in the heat of the moment? Because that whole conversation was happening on that log. They had not moved. They hadn't had time to even go walk it off. And now other people are coming over and they're just giving them the insight into what's going on. I mean, what do you think about that?
I don't know. It seemed like the Emily possibility was a contrived B option for an obvious Christian boot. You know, when you're out there and people are telling lies or spilling secrets, it's like, you know, one person has immunity. Christian's got to vote against him. Like, you're just going to weigh all your options. So I imagine they did actually say, okay, what if we vote Emily? What does that look like? What numbers do we need? But I mean, as we had a super chat earlier, I think it was it Cody Brayman said, I was surprised Emily didn't get any votes tonight. It was a little surprising when that was the AB question. Is it going to be Christian or Emily? And clearly, I don't think Emily's name was ever taken seriously. Like, they can be annoyed with her, but I do think, like, and maybe it was Rizzo. Rizzo's just one guy, but he's obviously saying this is the right move because we already have a vote against Christian. I mean, it makes sense. And Christian's a threat. Like, yeah, that's another part of this whole thing. It's not just that he's tied with Devins and that they did this show. I mean, they didn't know Christian was in on this plan. It's like, if you have an opportunity to take somebody out who is a, you know, a serious player in this game, he's going around lying to everybody. I mean, he was targeting Jonathan, targeting Ozzy. You can't blame Ozzy and Jonathan for being like, yeah, let's take Christian out here. So I don't know. I don't know if you can really credit any one person with the Christian vote. I just think it like all fell into place.
And somebody had said earlier, like, Jonathan's kind of the one who started to push it that way. For me, what was really interesting about the way this was edited tonight was, it felt like Devins was the guy early on. Devins. They're going through every single person talking about Devins is sloppy. Devins is this. You mentioned all of that. See, Turkenstein, he mentioned all of that. So you talked about all of that, and it felt like he was going to be the option. And then it switched to between Emily and Christian. And then we get the tribal council. Ozzy's name comes up. I never thought it was going to be Ozzy.
No.
Devins was so far off my radar that when Devins got three votes, I said, wait. The Devins storyline died 30 minutes into the episode. Like, when did this come back? It doesn't feel like Devins was ever a viable option. So once the second Christian vote came out, I knew Christian was gone.
There
was
And after the episode concluded, I was kind of wondering, like, why did they not present it as Christian or Devins? Why was not that the story told? Maybe it's because they are a duo, and then it's kind of like, okay, one of them's going home and that's less interesting than being like, okay, the duo can make it out of the episode if we put up Emily as the decoy. But I don't know. I never thought Emily was in trouble. Like, this felt to me that, oh, Christian's gone. Yeah, you know what else I thought Christian was going weirdly was at the immunity challenge. They have the side bet with Jeff, and then Christian's trying to make another side bet, and they like leave it in the episode of him being like, let's do this. And you can like hear it. They cut to it a couple times. Christian just tried, but they never finish it. And it kind of tails off. And you're like, what was that? And it was kind of like, I don't know. It felt like they treated Christian a little bit differently tonight than they usually do. Mm. And that was a kind of a big hint.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't stick out to me as much as maybe it stuck out to you. I didn't see that. But for me, what was kind of telling was I've been thinking Christian was going to go home at Final 14, at Final 13. And I felt like I said this all along. When he voted out Mike White, I truly think that's when Christian lost the game. Because I think he showed that he is such a good player. And I think he showed that he's also willing to backstab people, even if he has real relationships with them in real life. And I think that made him so threatening, and people were no longer like, okay, Christian, I had said coming into the season, probably had the most unwarranted threat level because he didn't go that far in his season, but he was perceived as a big threat because he was really likable and he was a great confessionalist. However, he really didn't play an amazing game in David vs. Goliath. And I thought that that would help carry him through the game. The problem was he had to play Survivor so hard so early because he kept going to every tribal council. They had to backstab a lot of people, which ended up really hurting him. And like St. Clippo says, that's when he lost Ozzy. I agree with that. And I think that's really what ended up killing Christian and why he was the easy vote here, because you have to take a shot when there's no way he can protect himself. I mean, I felt like it was going to be Christian tonight because the Devin stuff just seemed so obvious early and the Emily stuff felt like it came out of nowhere. Part of me is wondering, though, were they setting up the storyline for next week of will it be Emily or Devin's? Because I do feel like that is the path that we are on right now. I feel like that one of those people is probably going home next week. Now, next week's a two-hour episode, Mike Bloom has stated, so we might be getting a double boot. I would be surprised if both of them go.
We have to get a double boot if it's 2 hours. So what, we're down to final 10.
Jake Latimer, well,
what's up, Jake? Hope you're doing well. Back to the Christian thing. Also, Christian's somebody who can win the game. I think when you look at Christian and you watch his season, like you mentioned the confessionals, he's also a robotics engineer, Survivor super fan, extremely well-spoken, like somebody you just don't want to sit next to. You look around, I know it's season 50 and this is like a big all, you know, returning player cast. You know how many people are kind of hanging around that you're like, I would sit next to them. I would sit next to them. Like there's more of that. And that might not be correct perceptions. Like I said, with Jonathan, I think most people out there in the final 10, the other nine people are saying, if I get to the final three with Jonathan, I feel like that's somebody I could beat. Mm-hmm. Again, might not be right, but that's their perception. I think Ozzy potentially could be one of those people. And that might not be true either. Like, Ozzy's known as a physical player. We know that the modern game is more social and more strategic. Could you beat Ozzy? Then you have people like Emily, been really sloppy, spilling secrets. You have Tiffany, who has played really recently. Maybe it doesn't have the clout or she's just not high enough level of a player to be awarded the title of champion of season 50. You have Aubrey, who seems like she's been kind of down in the dumps, doesn't have a lot of allies. Like, it kind of stacks up where you look around. Who are the real threats to win? And I think Christian was starting to stick out like a sore thumb here.
Well, and one of the things that I might be a little concerned about on this season towards the end game is, will we start to see kind of like a survival of the strugglers? Like, I don't even know what to call that, but kind of the people you're talking about. With Christian going home this week, you lose one of the, like, if you really think about this, you were going through them, but like Saria has a chance to win, no doubt. I think that people look at her as a threat. I think people do look at Ozzy as a threat. Christian is a threat. Devin's is a threat. Those four for sure. I don't know if anybody's really all that worried about the other seven people sitting there. And so
even with Ozzy, you could argue that people would be willing to sit next to Ozzy, that they can outpitch a strategic game better than Ozzy can.
Exactly. So now the thing is, do we get to a point? Christian's gone. We're at final 10. If Devin's and Emily are the next two boots, let's say it's that easy. Our final eight is Rizzo, who just played and nobody knows. Jonathan, who was seen as an unbelievably one-dimensional character that pissed off most of his cast. Joe, who was a one-vote finalist after everybody in the audience thought that he had a chance to win. He gets pretty much blown out at Final Tribal Council, never really gets taken all that seriously. You have Aubrey, who lost to Michelle, who people who are very wrong will tell you is one of the worst winners in Survivor history, which is just incorrect. And if she is, then that means Aubrey's not that good of a runner-up because Aubrey lost to her. So you have Aubrey, who's already proven that she can lose a game at Final Tribal when the person that she's sitting next to isn't even that strong of a player in a lot of people's minds. A lot of people argue, well, it's because of the jury. Well, yeah, play to your jury. So those are four of the people.
Yeah, okay? The jury votes for who wins. It's obviously because of the jury.
Then you have Emily, who I don't think anybody is really taking seriously as a threat to win. I think she's too new. I think she's also loud. She's abrasive. She's a flip-flopper. You have Tiffany, who, like you said, just isn't enough. And then you turn around and you say, okay, well, what about, oh God, there was one other person whose name now is just totally, totally escaping me. You're down to one person. It's Saria and Ozzy. Like, that's really the only people at this point that you're looking at as threats at that final eight. And then you say to yourself,
Well, if those are the only two threats, oh, and Steph, that's who I'd forgotten. Steph, who I don't think a lot of people are taking all that seriously either.
There, yeah, Steph's a tough one because it's like if she gets there, it really depends. If she's there with like Tiff and Emily, like I feel like Steph is absolutely winning, right? Like just because a Survivor legend in a lot of people's eyes versus, you know, two very recent players that are, you know, maybe not as accomplished. So,
yeah. And so for me, like I had just put Emily in, lumped her in with a group of people after I said, if Emily's one of the next two people voted out, there are six people at final eight. If Emily and Devin are the next two out, there are six people at final eight that I really think most people would have wanted to sit next to at the end of the game. When the season started, they thought that they could make a pitch, make an argument that's better than them. Then you have Sari and Ozzy, and who's going to be stupid enough to take Sari to the end? It's like you said, logic is part of edging, right? Who is going to take Sari to the end? So if you cut Sari out, now you have Ozzy, and Ozzy does have a confessional in every episode. That's kind of where I lean.
I don't know
if Ozzy and Sari don't win, who wins the season?
Like, Jonathan is winning. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He is front running after tonight.
Yeah, but he has that 1-0. He has that 1-0.
Yeah, but it's fine. That can't be everything.
Anyway, so let's talk about what else do we want to talk? People were saying some things that maybe we could talk about in the chat here or something like that. We got Yellow False. Jonathan is not winning. What did you think about this as the challenge? Were you okay with this as the challenge that Jeff decided to compete in? I know we jump all over, but did you think that this being the challenge, Jeff having to hold up the percentage of the body weight and all of that, do you think that there was maybe a different challenge that would have been more fun than this one for him to compete in? Like, he's never going to beat Jonathan and Joe at this, which is why it has to be, you put up five, I just have to beat one of you, because he's not going to be the last person standing. But what did you think about Jeff choosing this challenge as the one that he would compete in?
I don't know if it's like the best one, but I think this realm of challenge is probably the only way you can do it. I don't think any sort of obstacle course where you're moving, it's like he needs to be able to return to host. He needs to actually do his job as the host of the show. So I think it has to be one of these stationary individual immunity challenges. I think the challenge itself, it's wrist assured with the four. I think it's heavily based on like how much pain tolerance you can handle on your actual hands, not so much how strong you are. I guess your forearms do hurt, but it's like the grip itself is one of the worst parts. I think it's fine. Like, again, I think maybe there's a better I think I would have liked to see maybe keep on your toes, where you have to stand on your tiptoes and hold press the block up to the frame above your head, because that's just kind of pure, I mean, I guess it's pure stamina anyway. It's your calves and your hamstrings and feet versus just your hands. So I think it's more interesting. I don't know. I liked it, though. I liked that it felt fair. It didn't feel like – it's also one where they do the body weight thing. And Jeff, because he is well-fed and is eating, like, he probably has higher percentage of the weight currently because, like, I don't know. I guess they do measure before. So maybe that kind of screws them. He only lasted 7.5 minutes.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Like, I mean, they're all not eating rice, not sleeping. It might just be a pure thing of stakes where Jeff's like, I don't need to do this. Like,
this hurts. I don't really, I beat somebody.
There's no, like,
Emily and Sari and Rizzo. Rizzo, first one out.
Yeah. There's no reason for him to really push himself here. Although I think he, out of pride, he did go, I mean, he went pretty hard. I was fine with it.
He can't do the stand on your toes one because he can't go the way of Lauren O'Connell when he's trying to just like make a point. You know what I mean? He can't suddenly be laying on the ground unconscious. And we're all sitting here going, oh my God, is Survivor 50 over because Jeff just died because of a joke from Jimmy Fallon? We don't need that.
So. What was the one Joe passed out from? That's the pole where he's holding the pole and putting. Yeah. I mean, that could have been a really fun one, but that one's tough because you're kind of looking straight up. So we can't look at other people. That's probably something they took into consideration. It has to be something you can do when you're looking outward so he can still commentate on the actual contestants.
Yeah.
But this was fine. I don't know if I don't know if this challenge is like the winner for me, but I get why they chose it.
I have to say this because, you know, I made the pitch and it's a Instagram that we still get a lot of comments on, even though we posted it 2 months ago now. And normally it's like, you should kill yourself. You're the stupidest person I've ever heard. Never have an opinion again, because it's me saying that Rizzo should be the host of Jeff in our Hot Takes podcast that we did a while ago. And I do think that tonight Rizzo might have proved he can't do it. I was going to
bring that up. And it was like, Rizzo was out first. I almost think I was like, did he drop on purpose so he can then take on the role of host until Jeff loses? But then Devin's is out soon after. It's clearly like, okay, if we are going, you know, Jeff's replacement as a former player, Devin's is certainly now far ahead of Rizzo in the lineup for that.
It was kind of one of those moments, like you're a dad in a small town and your kid's the best basketball player and you tell everybody how good he is, and you like go to the AAU state tryout or something like that, and you're like, man, my kid's really good. And then every other kid there just like beats the crap out of your kid and is so much better. Your kid's slower, can't hit as many shots, getting blocked left and right. Rizzo, I felt like you were my son there. I had put you out there as the host.
We have some suggestions here. St. Clifford says, could have done save chimney sweeps for this one. That was the Blood Moon one. I don't think so. And I don't think Jeff would have liked that one, because that all the pegs are the same size. The footholds, they're not unfair. They're not based on foot. So it's like, if you have smaller feet, it's just an easier challenge for you. And Jeff probably wouldn't have wanted to do that. The arm bucket challenge, we get, that's when it rains, it pours. That's the one Stephanie did on the journey. I actually think that is maybe the best one, because it's something you're looking straight out. It's pure willpower and determination. There's no weight factors going on. It's just put your hands straight up, tolerate pain. Anyone can do it. That might be the one. They just already used that one this season. On a really lame
journey. Look, you did the dream team. Did you ever participate in any of these like endurance based, just like
your mental
strength over? How well did you do? Did you do well, or did you find the motivation wasn't as big like Jeff might have tonight?
Yeah, no, you want to win when you can't. Like, I always tried to do it. I think my best placing one, what it's called, this much, where you stick your arms fully out and you press against the disc with the hanging sandbag. So you're just fully extending your fingertips and wrist, and that hurts quickly. But I think I got second place on that one. I did win an immunity, but I didn't win like one of the, like the stand still, do something painful ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious, because like when Jeff was saying, you know, I always forget how big the motivation factors into it. I think about that all the time. Cause when you watch Stephanie do that for an hour, you're like, okay, I could do that. But then like, go sit in your living room with your hand above your head for 5 minutes and you start to go numb and you're like, okay, why am I doing this? This hurts. And now I'm going to have pins and needles for the rest of the day. So I do feel like, the motivation is such a big factor. And I just always wonder with the dream team. I know the dream team gets super competitive with each other, but I always wonder, do they ever find themselves saying, I don't need to do this, and like literally not be able to. Now I feel
prizes.
I can't feel my hands.
There's prizes too. So you want to win.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. Look at that. That's the behind the scenes that we all needed. I agree with you. I mean, I think the challenge was fine, but I hear you. I think the arm one probably is the best one. You can't do something that's just like, just stand there, because then Jeff can just jump off whenever he gets bored or something. But, I was fine with that. Let's talk about Joe's decision. Okay. Cause we didn't actually talk about this. So this is,
we did. We said it was stupid.
Yeah, but let's talk about it. What should,
I don't know if there's more to break down. Like,
no, because here's why I'm going to say this.
Okay.
What we did see after this, to give Joe some credit here, okay, to give Joe some credit, after the challenge, he was told that Christian was throwing, was it Ozzy's name out there? He was told that after the challenge. They hadn't told him that before. And we know that that was edited properly, because I think the immunity necklace is in the shot. And so for me, he doesn't know just how out of the loop Christian is. And he's probably looking at this as, I have my three over here. I'm trying to be good here. There's also still the possibility of this original Sela alliance. This is the first Sela person to go home since Savannah, by the way. Do you, like, what should he have done? Because he didn't have as much information as we all have.
I think, you know, at this point, you know, the journey potentially has an advantage, right? Like they're not going to send you just to go lose a vote. Although we've almost gotten there. We've never quite fully gotten there. Give it to one of your allies. Also, like, if you're sitting at Final Tribal Council, anyone sitting next to you is going to be like, Joe had everyone rock, paper, scissors for the damn journey invite. Like, he couldn't even make a decision. Like, I think that, like, you got to take the game in your own hands. Not the fans' hands. Take it into Joe's hands and, like, sack up and pick somebody that's going to benefit your game and your alliance's game. Like, the pandering to everybody to keep everyone happy, I think people are seeing right through that, and it makes you kind of look like you're just pleasing everyone, and I don't know. I didn't like it. It's why I didn't like Aubrey not playing her idol when she had to apologize and then playing it for no reason when she knew she had no votes coming in. It's like, play harder.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. I mean, who would have been the perfect person for him to pick to do this then?
Ozzy or Jonathan? Maybe Jonathan or Steph?
Because Ozzy and him, they're not actually aligned.
It feels like they are, though.
Do you think something's being left out of the edit? Because they're being
Of course. Because Ozzy's always hanging out with them, and he's an old school player. It's Steph is in there. And then I know Joe and Jonathan are new era players, but they're like the honor integrity remnants. And we get the confessional from Ozzy saying, like, oh yeah, that old school thing is done. Like, I'm with Rizzo, like, we're hanging. I don't know if Joe knows that, like, Ozzy and Rizzo have this very tight alliance with Ceri of all people. Like, I think Joe is hanging out with Stephanie. He's around the campfire. We see him talking to Ozzy and Jonathan. Like, those are his people. Or maybe you pick Jonathan or Steph. I don't know. Pick someone in your alliance. How about that?
Yeah. No, and I think that maybe sending Steph might have actually been the best. She's already been over there. You know, Ceri called her on it, but I don't know how many other people called her on it. That really got quiet, the whole thing about what advantage does Stephanie possibly have? And this is why I also think Devin's and Emily are just toast. And I wouldn't be surprised if next week's a double boot episode where both of them go, because Steph has a steal a vote. Ceri has an extra vote. Rizzo has an idol. Ozzy has an idol. How are you taking down that side now that Christian is gone? You just don't have.
What does Stephanie have again? Sorry.
It's a steal a vote.
Steal a vote, yeah. And the fact that we just haven't heard anything from Stephanie is just kind of weird.
Yeah, tonight she had two confessionals.
But she's just kind of like, for being such a big Survivor legend, for her to be this kind of not important to the season, I don't know, feels off.
She won her brand deal. I feel like Stephanie's been important to the season for sure. I just feel like Stephanie falls into Aubrey, where she's just not big enough of a personality at this point. Like, she gets overshadowed, and I don't think either one of them are going to win. I mean, Jonathan tonight kind of could fall into that, but we're seeing the growth of Jonathan. Jonathan had 9 confessionals tonight. Christian had 18. Ceri, Ozzy, Rick had 5.
Wait, Emily Christian had 18 tonight?
18.
Oh my God.
And then Aubrey and Stephanie had 2. Joe, Rizzo, Tiffany all had 1. So, like, that's where, like, Rizzo kind of fell to the background a little bit recently. Joe has fallen to the background big time over the last couple weeks. Tiffany's kind of been a background character for most of the season. Aubrey and Stephanie have been background characters. But then when you look at the people at the top, Ozzy, Rick, Ceri, Christian, those make sense. Jonathan doesn't make any sense. And this is why we're looking at Jonathan.
I think he wins. I just don't see. And it's not so much that Jonathan is doing anything amazing, but it's almost like I'm like ruling out everyone else. Like, I can't find the path for other players left. Like, Christian might have been the only one. Like, if Christian gets to the end, he wins. We've seen so much of him. He could, like, up until this point, he's been maybe the star of season 50.
Yeah. I mean, I think he now, with 18 confessionals tonight, I think that he has the most. And I think that 6 of the final 8 can't, or 6 of the final 10 can't catch him. like that's how far ahead he is. And there's still 3 episodes left, including a 3-hour finale.
Mm-hmm. Philly and the Willie.
I got to go Philly to Ceri. We take it for granted. It's kind of like with Coach of the Year back in the day. Bill Belichick, I think, won it once in, like, his entire career in the NFL or something like that, or he hadn't won it at all. It was something absurd like that. We just take great, great people for granted when they're just great at their craft, and I think Ceri is so good. I know people will say Rizzo got his way. I know we have that super chat right here from Jordan C. Riz got his way here. I mean, I feel like Ceri ultimately is the one who is making the decisions, though. They're going to her, and if Ceri's not willing to make it happen, it's not happening.
Jimmy Fallon made the decision for everybody.
That is true, too. I'm going to go
Jimmy Fallon get the Philly? Is he eligible?
No, we're not getting to that level yet. It's like how Fishback was saying he gives fishies to, like, you know, edits or people in the chat or whatever. You know, we're sticking with Survivor players. And I'm going to say Ceri, because you know what? Ceri also had that confessional of, I have these people that that are in my alliance. I got these people that are in other alliance. I got these people that I'm pretty good with. And it was every single person on the beach. Her social game is insane. And I think it was shown tonight because everybody was willing to hear her out on all of her decisions. I don't think there was an overly dominant player today. I know you would probably say it was Jonathan, but I feel like Jonathan, at the end of the day, that decision was half made. I like that he pushed, give me your, you know, or Christian offered, I'll give you my shot in the dark. Will we play together then? And he gave up the shot in the dark, but I don't feel like it's like overly advantageous for him. So I'm going to give it to Ceri because Ceri probably should have won some that she hasn't won yet.
Yeah. And I don't know what you base the Philly on. Is it like, edit, you take the edit into account? Like, do you now believe this player has a better chance at winning after seeing the episode, or is it the actions they took on the island while this episode was filming? I think those are two very different things. If it's the former, then I would say Jonathan, just because he shot up so high in my book. But the Willie, the worst player of the episode, I'm between two people here. One, Joe, for not making a decision and letting your, you know, essentially your enemy on the other side of the alliance go on a journey and potentially get in your hand.
He lives rent free in your head. He just lives rent free. You can't help it with Joe.
What is he doing to make him like a worthy Survivor player? Has he done anything to like actually play Survivor? Like,
well, I feel like that's the thing with Joe, is I feel like Joe is more of a character than a player. And so like, that's going to happen on some seasons. Like what has like Emily done to prove that she's a great Survivor player? Like really nothing, but Emily's still good. I'd watch Emily a third and a fourth time for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The other player, you might not like this, but I might go Devins.
Devins for sure. I could say I gave Devins the Philly last week, and retroactively, I probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, mainly for telling Emily about that the idol's fake. That can't be good. Emily can't keep a secret at all.
No, she can't.
I think, you know, you hatched this plan with Christian. He was your accomplice. You pulled it off. You got back to camp with the idol. Now you're telling people now the idol's activated. Like, you pulled the thing off. Why are you now revealing the secret? Because you're still in the game and people still think the idol's real. And I know, and we didn't actually end up talking about this, but it's like, yes, there's a target on your back, but he didn't play it tonight. Is he going to have to play it next? Like,
do you think he'll be able to sell that to everybody as, hey, I didn't play the idol because I knew you were going to vote for Christian and still convince them it's real? Or do you think he's going to have to tell them all that it's not real? And that's
what I think he's got, if it's not real, then they're just going to vote him out. This is the thing with Aubrey. Like, I think he can't do what Aubrey did and be like, oh, I forgot to play it. Like, it's not going to work. I think he goes, no, I know you guys were voting Christian. Why would I waste my idol? That's how Devins is going to play it. That's how you should play it. There's no reason that he needs to play it when he tells people to. You can lie in Survivor. That's okay. You're allowed to do that.
Devins was saying that earlier this year.
Some people would argue that's actually a great skill to have and makes you a better player if you're able to successfully lie.
Let's throw him some chats. I hear. Wait. So who are you picking? You have to pick one. Are you picking Devins?
Let's go Devins. Yeah. Don't tell Emily. Should be Devins.
Give Joe a break, man. God, this is like Blake with Mitch, where it's like, why are you yelling at Mitch? Like, oh, he went to A&M. I'm like, Blake, it's okay. You know, it's okay. So let's do some more.
I praised Joe last week. I don't know. I know you weren't on that pod. I was on a different podcast because we did the double duo, but the Duke of Will, the Duke of Will.
I feel like Ceri, Rizzo, Ozzy will have to target each other at some point, allowing an Aubrey or a Tiffany to swoop into the final four. I don't know if they'll get all the way to final four, but that comment right there is why Jayburn Aquatics here, final six, John, Steph, Rizzo, Ozzy, Ceri, and Joe. I think that
six of those people are left at final seven. And I think whoever's left of Tiffany and Aubrey, maybe it's Devin's, but I doubt anybody wants to do anything with Devin's. Whoever's left out of Tiffany and Aubrey, I think probably does make a little bit of a run. I don't know if they get all the way to final four. Like, there's so many cross alliances happening in the alliances. I don't know.
I can buy the Aubrey thing. It could be why we've seen so much of her. It kind of adds up. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I always argue. I mean, Gabler got mentioned tonight by Jeff when he was doing the challenge, and Gabler won that challenge. And I always said with Gabler, there was so much screen time for him that he did not need. And that was only two seasons removed from Erica. And that was the moment when I said, yo, they are going to make sure you get a confessional in every episode if you're the winner post Erica, because Marianne, it made sense. But if they did it for Gabler, and there was a lot of episodes where Gabler didn't need screen time,
a lot.
Maybe that's what's happening with Aubrey. And maybe Aubrey's game, maybe Aubrey is like in a Natalie Anderson type position where there's nothing she can really do. And the last three or four episodes, she just blows up and has a great game. Like, who knows? But they are giving her a lot of, they're not giving her a lot of screen time, but they're giving her screen time. That's what's weird.
Yeah.
That's what's weird with her. Mm-hmm. So we have one more super chat, which is a spoiler for another show. So we're going to wait for a second here, because I want to ask you this question before we get into that one. What is Mr. Beast next week? Are you okay with Mr. Beast being on next week? Like, what's your feeling on it's the super beware advantage or something like that?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. I know people are over the celebrities and don't need screen time. It's like we've been saying the Billie Eilish thing, that mechanic was actually kind of cool. They just kind of flubbed it by putting too many in. Zach Brown was lengthy, yes, but it was a reward people cared about. And if you didn't like it, I get it. It's fine. But it didn't affect the actual game. Jimmy Fallon here tonight, fine. We didn't actually see Jimmy Fallon. It's just his name on a letter. Mr. Beast is coming in. Mr. Beast is one of the most popular people in the entire world, and he gets to come on our favorite show and maybe bring some new fans into the show. Fine by me. Like, yeah. I hope it doesn't ruin, like, I hope it's not like a game breaking mechanic or twist, but that wouldn't even be up to Mr. Beast. Like, at the end of the day, Survivor and Jeff need to create a fair and balanced game with the right amount of twists. They have kind of missed the mark on that this season in a lot of ways, but like his presence, like that inherently to me is not a bad thing. It could end poorly. Like, there's a lot of ways. It's a super beware advantage. This could like either double the money or you're immediately eliminated. Like, that could be the coin flip, and that would be terrible. But just him being there, like, you can execute this in a way where he appears and it's tasteful and it works and it's fun. I don't know if that's happening, but I'm okay with the concept.
Yeah. I think for me, it's, you know, now Devin's my preseason winner pick. This is the time to break the game. Let's find a way to get Devin's back on top. Like, he gets safety from a tribal council four times in a row, and he gets a hidden immunity idol or something like that. Like, I need my preseason winner pick from May to win the season. So if they're ever going to do a game breaking twist, I'm glad it's happening now. But in reality, yeah, it just can't be game breaking. Like, please don't be. Like, that's all we're asking. Just, if you're going to do this, people were talking about, oh, maybe it's a coin flip to double the prize to $2 million. But if you don't do it, then something happens, but it can't be.
You're eliminated. That's what I just said.
Yeah, it can't be that. It just can't be you go home because you flipped a coin. Like, that's stupid. And if that,
I mean, we've literally done the do or die thing on Survivor before Mr. Beast ever showed up. Yeah, remember that, folks.
No, I remember. Questions over here for the prop bet game for those who play along, just so that you know where we're at here this week. Every single person on the episode said Jeff's name except for Aubrey. So the only way you didn't get the point there is if you picked Aubrey. Joe won immunity. Aubrey, Christian, Joe, Jonathan, Ozzy, Steph, and Tiffany outlasted Jeff in the challenge. Rizzo was the first one out. Aubrey was the one who cast the deciding vote this week. Most confessionals was Christian. Journey was Christian. First person Jeff asked the question at tribal was Emily. Mouth blurred was Ozzy and Steph. Rick Devins was bleeped in the subtitles, but we never actually see his mouth blurred, which is funny. Episode title was Jeff, so nobody gets
a brutal way to not score points there.
Well, his mouth wasn't blurred. I need to see his mouth.
True. No, you're right. It's just like, damn.
I know they were showing.
Or should I say?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Will. So Cass Burchard, here you go, Will. Will, I have to ask, what the heck was that?
Whoa. Let's. If anyone listening or, you know, if they want to watch House of Villains, they don't want to be spoiled, turn this down for the next 30 seconds. Okay. Skip ahead 30 seconds.
All right, here it is. The comment was already up in the chat, so you probably already saw it, guys. But will I have to ask, what the heck was that Battle Royale challenge when Tyson goes home? Whoever is on the bottom has no chance to win.
Well, it's not even they have no chance to win. It's the round where there's no redemption challenge, which makes it even worse. Wasn't up to me. That's all I can say.
Okay, there you go. Will,
it was a really fun. The challenge was really fun itself. The game works. It just didn't fit with that round and that episode. There are reasons why it ended up that late that I can't really just dive into, but I didn't want it there. I want it. That game works earlier in the season, and I did want that. Wasn't up to me.
There you go. There you go, everybody. Now you know, Cass. Anything else with this episode, or are we good?
Fun. Are we back? Are we back? Is this a full recovery from Blood Moon?
You said the season was tainted and it wasn't going to be good, pretty much. Like, I don't know if you said exactly not good, but you said it was tainted. I still think
the season is forever tainted. For sure. I think I still agree. That doesn't mean each individual episode can't be good, but I think when you look back on the season in 5 years, it's going to be like, yeah, that was just a hokey, weird season. Whoever won just like survived production twist and didn't survive the players on the island. Which isn't as interesting.
But do you like it? Are you back, though, for 50?
I feel like I am back, though. I'm back.
That's what matters. You're like a second delayed. It didn't happen the whole podcast. What was happening before the episode now is happening. But that's okay. We're good. I'm glad to hear that you're back. That makes me happy. This is my last podcast from this setup, Will. This is it. This is the last time sitting here. Because I'm moving on Friday. I start going, and tomorrow the movers come, and I'm going to have my computer somewhere else in the house because I have Sage from Survivor 49 on at 5:30 p.m. for Digging Deeper. Not sure if Blake's going to be able to make that one or not, but Sage will definitely be here. So tune into that, 5:30 Eastern time. On Sunday, I have Todd Herzog, so that's always a fun one. Always love talking to Todd, one of the biggest fans out there, and I love chatting with him about Survivor 50 and all this fun stuff. And on Friday, McKenna and John are doing Survivor Rewind. And then next Tuesday, I have Tori from the Survivor Now podcast on. If you listened earlier in the season, I did a pre-show with Tori and Ollie over at Survivor Now on the Survivor Now channel. So I'm going to be having Tori on this time. I had Ollie on last season, which was great because Ollie lives in the UK and we did the Thanksgiving episode together, which worked out really, really well. Tori will be doing this Tuesday. So there you go. That's our rundown. Sage tomorrow night on the podcast. Really excited for that one. 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that's it. Become a patron. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Second chance starts tomorrow. The casting is announced. Our casting episode goes out tomorrow for Second Chance. Will, I hope that made you sweat because that means we got a lot of episodes to start podcasting still for Second Chance. But we got Second Chance starting tomorrow. We got Teg Talks with takes and pitches. Will and Tegwith did a take.
We had a really fun one.
What was it for?
We talked about different ways of doing the Blood Moon, basically. Like, if you had to eliminate three people in the episode, what are, like, other ideas on how to do it? Or, like, just ways of getting multiple people out in a certain round. So that was a lot of fun.
There you go. That's it. And then we got takes after that, and then we got a draft. We did a location draft at one point. There's a brand steal that Tegwith and McKenna do once a month. And I got my after show tomorrow. So plenty going on over on the Patreon, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you want to join and get even more content as we almost get to the summer months in a month, 1 month, this season is over. That's it.
Oh,
we only
God.
Have four episodes left. 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 episodes left. That's it. Crazy with how much we've been talking about Survivor 50 for the last 2 years. It's almost done. I'll end with this because I saw this posted yesterday. Or today, it was Rob Cesternino and Brandon Donlan, and it was from RHAP Grams, and Rob asked Brandon, how many seasons do you think from 51 to 59 will have returning players? And Will, I'm going to ask you that question now to end this podcast, because we are into the last month of 50. Do you think production is super happy with this, loves the way this has gone? How many seasons? Make your prediction right here, right now.
3.
That's what Brandon said. Wow. Final answer.
That's a lot. I mean, it was 0 for 41 to 49. Like, I think 60 will be. So, like, if you're asking purely 51 to 59, 3 is, you know, every third season, that's quite a lot.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that number. Rob said 5, which would be crazy. I wouldn't be mad about it. That would be crazy. But anyway, that's what we got. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like the video, and I'll see you tomorrow night at 5:30.
See ya.